We're up to the year 3,364. So we have Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one who developed the Babylonian Empire. And he had a few children. One of his sons was named Evil Merodach. And he was the one who was appointed to the throne twice. He was appointed to the throne first when Nebuchadnezzar became insane and ran around and ran into the forest and disappeared for 7 years. Then Evil Merodach was given the throne. And then when Nebuchadnezzar regained his sanity and came back to the throne, so he got very upset at his son Evil Merodach for him taking the throne and locked him up in a dungeon. And then when Nebuchadnezzar finally died, so they came and took Evil Merodach out of the dungeon and they said, "We want you to be king." And Evil Merodach says, "I'm not doing that again." They said, "Your father's dead." He said, "I want to see." And he dug out his father from the grave, and he wanted to see the body. He said only after he saw his father was dead, only then was he willing to take the throne. So Evil Merodach was the king of Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar passed away.
That was a punishment for Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Right. That was a fulfillment, right. A fulfillment of the prophecy that Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't rest even in the grave. So Evil Merodach takes the throne and he is going to be king for 23 years. There's a discussion in Talmud whether it's a full 23 years. We already discussed that the counting of the years, there were overlaps. You had a year that counted for two kings. If the king died in the middle of the year, so it counted as the 40th year of Nebuchadnezzar and the first year of Evil Merodach and so on. And when he became king, so he invited Jehoiachin out of prison. And he gave him a place of honor, and he gave him a lot of respect, and he allowed him to eat at his own table. And Jehoiachin lived with this honor for a short period and passed away. He lived only long enough to come out of prison and spend a few days, and then he died. And his son, Shealtiel, the son of Jehoiachin, was considered the prince of the Jews at that time. So he was appointed the next in line. And when Shealtiel died, so then his son, Zerubbabel, became the next appointed leader. So when we read in the book of Zerubbabel and in the prophecies of Hosea, in the book of Ezra, and in the prophecies of Hosea, we read about Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. We understand that he is the grandson of Jehoiachin, the final king of Judea. So Jehoiachin's son, Shealtiel, was the leader after his passing. And then his grandson, Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, is going to be the leader who will lead us. He will be the governor of the Jews in Babylon. And he will also be the governor of the Jews under the Persian Empire. And he will lead the Jews back into the land of Israel. He will be the prince leading us back into Israel. And then we come to Ezra. We're up to the year 3,370. Ezra is a descendant of Aaron. He is a Kohen. He is a descendant of Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, a Kohen. And Ezra is the leader of this assembly called the Great Assembly, 120 people. We are going to have 8 generations of what's called Hora'ah, of halachic rule, in the beginning of the Second Temple period. And Ezra is the starting point of that. Now, in Ezra's time, the rabbis were called Sofrim. Like Sofer, a scribe, Sofrim was a term for a rabbi. What we call a Chacham or a rabbi today was called a Sofer back then. And the Talmud, what?
Don't use it today. Divrei Sofrim.
Okay, Divrei Sofrim, right? So the Talmud asks, why were the rabbis called Soferim? The Talmud says, because they knew the Torah down to the number. You could ask them, number word 2,354. They knew the numbers of the Torah. And they also took the oral law, and they were able to break it down into numbers. So when we read a Mishnah, Arba'a Avot Nizikin, what tractate are we learning in the mornings here? Psachim. So where do we have numbers in Psachim? In Psachim you have Where do you have numbers? I don't remember Mishnayos with numbers in Pesachim. You have Chamisha Minei Maror. There are five types of Maror, the Mishnah says. So you have Mishnayos that boil down to numbers. So when the Mishnayos boil down to numbers, those Mishnayos were organized by Ezra and the rabbis of his period. So that's another reason they were called Soferim, because they gave numbers to everything. There are four types of damages. There are 39 prohibited tasks on Shabbos. There are four types of tasks in taking an item in and out on Shabbos. There are four types of vows. There are four types of blemishes that are called Tzarat. So we have many numbers in the Mishnayot. So Ezra and the rabbis of his period were the ones who shifted, who put the oral Torah down to numbers. Now the men of the Great Assembly, we're going to discuss them for a while now. But let's first understand Ezra a little bit more. We learned about Baruch ben Neriah, right? The disciple of Yechezkel and of Yirmiah. And Baruch ben Neriah was the Rebbe of Ezra. So when we have the first ascent into the land of Israel, Ezra does not leave Babylon, because so long as he could learn Torah from his Rebbe Baruch ben Neriah, he doesn't leave. The Gemara has a question. The prophet Malachi, the last prophet Malachi, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eliyahu Anavi, right? Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem. You guys know the song, yeah? Et Eliyahu Anavi, that's the final words of the final prophet, Malachi. The Gemara says, who was Malachi? One opinion is it was Ezra. One opinion is it was Mordechai, from the story of Mordechai and Esther. We have different opinions. We're not sure who Malachi is. For some reason, Chazal didn't think it was Malachi. That wasn't, they didn't think it was him.
There's no opinion that they were all three the same person? Is that just a machloket between?
I think it's two different opinions. So, that would make Ezra into a prophet, if Ezra was also Malachi. Ezra was very humble. He was so humble that our sages say the Torah could have been given by him. And it says that he was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra makes 10 institutions, and this is where we'll pick up with the institutions of Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly. There's a lot to discuss about the men of the Great Assembly and Ezra. And this will take us for a few classes now, the discussion of Ezra. So we've entered the era of the men of the Great Assembly. We are headed back to Israel. This is the era of rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash. And part of what we're going to see is the men of the Great Assembly numbered 120. And that's a number which we find in the Persian court. In the book of Daniel, so it's mentioned that the Persian court, the Persian king had 120 advisors. It's a little bit strange. In Judaism, we don't have this, a court of 120 people. We have a court of 71, we have a court of 23, we have a court of 3. We don't have a court of 120. So we will have to discuss this as we go along. The role of the men of the Great Assembly, what does it mean that they numbered 120? How long did the period of the Great Assembly last? We will discuss that, Be'ezrat Hashem, in the coming classes. Yes.